Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
I'm Leo. And
tonight is our union night, so we're going to read a little union news and keep everybody up to date on what's happening. I hope people are thinking about who they're going to vote for. We're just coming down to the last few weeks before the election, and it seems like it's really close. But maybe some of this news will help you decide who you're going to vote for. And we'll start off with an article right away from the AFL-CIO blog, and this is Florida again leading the way in assaulting the rights of voters. Remember when George W. Bush was running against Kerry, there was considerable voter fraud in Florida.
Oh, even in 2000 when he was running against Gore.
Yeah.
It started in 2000 and 2004. Again, I mean, every Republican, every election and every election Republican win has been won by voter fraud.
And the investigation has been done.
And never prosecuted.
But these people are never prosecuted.
And there's an article tonight I want to read. I think it's on there. I'm not sure. But it really just fried my...
Remember when Nancy Pelosi said...
It's an article by Nancy Pelosi that was written by Nancy Pelosi, all right? And she fries my ass. I mean, I just can't stand that bitch, nor can I stand these bastards, and you know, who support this thing. I mean, she comes on and says, oh, you know, it's a do-nothing Congress because Republicans are so do-nothing, all right, and won't do anything. But, you know, and then she cites how remarkable the 2007 and 2008 Congress was, all right?
They I don't remember it that way.
I remember them as being nuts. That's why they got kicked the hell out in 2008 because of their attitude, because they did absolutely nothing.
And that seems to be our biggest problem.
We voted them in 2006. And they did crap, okay? And we hoped that they would impeach Bush. We hoped that they'd stop the war. We hoped that they did everything, and they did absolutely
nothing. They got in there on a promise, and they failed to do anything.
And goddamn Democrats are just as pathetic as the goddamn Republicans, and, you know, and I can't help myself. You know, I just can't. But we're going to read the proof to you tonight, so go with it. And,
well,
you know, if you're a union member, please understand... Yeah, okay, unions and Democrats are married together, all right? But God damn, you know, something's got to come with this. I mean, they got to do something. You know, it's okay, keep going. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, Florida, again, is leading the way in assaulting the rights of voters. Recent years, and this is by Kenneth Quinnell, recent years have seen an assault on the rights of voters across the country, from stringent identification requirements to throwing away of valid voter registration applications. While most states are seeing only one or two of the variety of assaults on the rights of voters, Florida, as it has in the past, as leading the way in different ways of denying legitimate citizens the right to vote. A key tactic is the purge of the voter rolls ordered by Governor Rick Scott that would have removed thousands of eligible voters from the rolls, much as a similar purge did in 2000, when it likely cost Al Gore the presidency. Scott said the purge was necessary to prevent non-citizens from voting, despite the fact that there is little to no evidence of a significant number of illegitimate voters attempting to cast a ballot. The U.S. Department of Justice ordered the purge halted, as early reports showed that most people on the list were actually legal voters. The court later allowed some of the purge to go through, although most local supervisors of elections refused to comply, with the exceptions of Lee and Collier counties. Since Scott became governor, Florida has had the most punitive rules for defranchising former felons, requiring 5 to 7 years without committing any crime before a clemency hearing can be held to restore the right to vote. Former Governor Charlie Crist restored the rights of nearly 6,000 former felons in his last year in office. In Rick Scott's first year, the restoration fell to 200. And while that would be enough to make the state notable in denial of the franchise, that's only the beginning of the story. In 2011, Scott signed a bill that reworked the rules for voting and registering new voters. The new law put severe restrictions upon those who gather new voter registration application, including fines of up to $1,000 per year for those who do not turn in new applications within an unrealistic 48 hours. A number of activist organizations, such as the League of Women Voters, decided not to register voters anymore out of the fear of the new fines. The restrictions were punitive enough that the courts blocked them, and the LWV and others began voter registration afterwards. That's the League of Women Voters. More significantly, the state reduced the number of early voting days that counties can offer and eliminated early voting on Sunday before the election day. Early voting is popular in Florida, with more than half of the voters using that option in 2008. The numbers were even higher for African and Americans. Defenders of the new law say that the law does not cut back on the total hours that early voting can be offered. But since the final decision is left up to the individual counties, counties can reduce the number of hours if they so choose. We do not have a reduction in overall early voting hours, said Daniel Smith, a University of Florida political scientist who analyzed state election laws. That is a concern to me, and it was a concern to the Justice Department, too. Excuse me, I read that incorrectly. It says we do have a net reduction in overall early voting hours. The Sunday before the election also was notable for the fact that it has historically seen the largest turnout of minority voters. I think maybe that's why they stopped that. According to Dara Lindenbaum of the Lawyer Committee for Civil Rights under the law, the shortening of early voting hours is significant because it will lead to longer lines and more voters deciding it is not worth the wait to vote, particularly with a long ballot this year that can be as lengthy as 6 to 10 pages. The longer lines and longer ballots is likely to lead to frustrated poll workers who are more likely to make mistakes. If a line is long at the end of election day, anyone in line before 7 p.m. is legally allowed to vote. But there are reports every year of individual precincts who refuse to allow people to vote because they haven't done so before the polls close, even if they wait in line for hours. The law also prevents voters who are already registered to update their addresses at the polls if they have moved to another county. This change now means that those who have moved and did not update their registration in advance will be required to cast provisional ballots, which delays the tallying of ballots.
I wish I never counted.
Yeah.
Florida and all the other states, they never count those damn things.
A few other tactics that have been popping up across the state are not directed by government officials. Multiple counties have received reports and copies of fraudulent letters that question the voting status of individuals, warning them that voting when they are not registered could lead to them being put in prison. To date, the local supervisors of election have been diligent about getting the word out about the accuracy of those letters. A number of reports also mentioned people calling their home and offering them the option of voting by phone, Linderbaum said. One woman who received the call knew it was a scam, but said if her elderly parents received it, they would have believed it and be thrilled that they didn't have to wait in line to vote anymore. Those who are victims of any of these tactics or who want to check their registration can call, and this is if you're in Florida, 1-866-OUR-VOTE to report problems or ask questions. The AFL-CIO My Vote, My Right website offers hands-on information on voter registration, voter ID laws, and steps to take to protect your right to vote on election day. Find out what you need to know to make sure your vote counts this year. Get information on voter registration, your voting rights by state, and more at AFFLMyVoteMyRight.org.
Another thing about Florida, that
a horrible state,
leads the race to the bottom on unemployment compensation as well.
Yeah, I'm going back, Leo.
Yeah, go back, please.
Let's see.
There's an article on the blog here about Pelosi.
I don't think it's on the front page.
Yeah, it's somewhere. It's nice. I thought this was interesting, too. Victory for voting rights. Clear Channel takes down voter intimidation billboards. Now, this is Clear Channel. This is Florida as well. These are other areas around the country.
But remember that Bain Capital
owns Clear Channel.
And guess who is affiliated with Bain
Capital? Who owns Bain Capital?
Yeah. Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. All right. And Mitt Romney owns Rush Limbaugh and all the other assholes that are part of the conservative talk right wing. Okay?
Campaigning for him.
Campaigning for him, right. So, I mean, if this doesn't stake the high hell, I don't know what does. But Lila's going to read this thing, or you want me to read it?
That's all right. Bowing to a huge public outcry, communications conglomerate Clear Channel has agreed to take down more than 100 billboards in a predominantly African-American and Latino neighborhoods in Ohio and Wisconsin, designed, say, voting rights and civil rights groups to intimidate voters and suppress the vote. Also, the company has agreed to post new messages on the billboards in those Cleveland, Columbus, and Milwaukee neighborhoods, encouraging people to exercise their right to vote. City Councilman Phyllis Cleveland told the Cleveland Plain Dealer, "I think damage was done, but I don't think it's irreparable. I think taking them down and putting up other billboards will be effective." In addition to the new billboards from Clear Channel, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, which had urged the company to remove the offending messages from the billboards, has paid for about 36 billboards that went up last week in Cleveland and Milwaukee's predominantly Latino and black neighborhoods that read, "Stand up and have your say. Vote. When we vote, we are all equal." The voters' intimidation billboards were paid for by a private foundation that Clear Channel continues to refuse to identify. Must be Bain Capital.
Bain Capital.
Scott Ross, executive director for the Institute for One Wisconsin, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the billboards were an assault on the voters, and the people of Wisconsin deserve to know who paid to attack the sacred right to vote in such an unseemly manner. The AFFL-CIO My Vote, My Right website offers hands-on information on voter registration, voter ID laws, and steps to take to protect your right to vote on Election Day. Find out what you need to know to make sure your vote counts this year. Get information on voter registration, your voting rights by state, and more at the AFFL-CIO MyVoteMyRight.org. This is, you got to go back to get to the rest of it. Does the boss pocket your
state? That's an important
cost?
One. That's a very important article.
Interesting one.
You know, I didn't know this until I read this. We read this about a year ago on something or another article. But this is really important, that the state income taxes are being given, collected by your employer and kept, okay, as a deal with the state, okay, and keep going, and they don't have to pay them back.
Oh, let's read this.
So you're getting clobbered by 5-6%, okay, in your state income taxes, and in many states, in over 20 states in the country, they're not paying the
pocket your state taxes.
Yeah.
Remember the state fiscal crisis when state treasuries were running out of money because the revenues, taxes were down, and cuts to education, health care, safety, public roads were the flavor of the day? One of the little-known factors behind the loss of revenue to state treasuries, and this is hard to believe, is that in 19 states, with Pennsylvania on the verge of becoming number 20, corporations are pocketing workers' state income taxes instead of sending the weekly withholding to the state where it could be used to help to pay for education, health care, public safety, and roads. It may be a scam, but it's legal, done in the name of job creation. The theory goes if states allow how could they be so dumb, to pocket workers' withholding and add it to their profit margins, companies will want to move into those states and create jobs. Balderdash. It's nothing more than corporate welfare, as David K. Johnson exposes in his new book, The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. More than 19 states can now keep state income taxes withheld from paychecks. General Electric, Goldman Sachs, and Procter & Gamble have these deals, along with a host of foreign firms from the German computer maker Siemens to Swedish appliance maker Electrolux and a host of Canadian, European, and Japanese banks. In all, more than 2,700 companies get to pocket the state income taxes withheld from some of their workers' paychecks. Johnson points out that several states open their tax treasuries to companies after corporations threaten to move out of state. In Illinois, he writes, Navistar, maker of the big diesel trucks for industry and the military, threatened to go to Alabama or maybe Iowa. In turn, for staying put, Navistar will pocket $65 million. The big winner, though, was Motorola Mobility, the cell phone maker. Just for promising not to move out of state and take 3,000 jobs with it, Motorola gets to siphon $136 million from the paychecks of its well-paid high-tech workers. As if to make this transaction all the more interesting, Motorola Mobility agreed to be acquired by Google soon after the state made the big tax deal. The Motorola board then paid its CIO, Sanjay Jahia, to go away. He received $66 million. Thus, Illinois taxpayers underwrote his golden parachute, which amounted to roughly half the value of the worker taxes flowing to Google. Google hardly needs a subsidy from Illinois taxpayers. Oh, God.
That's sick.
Pennsylvania, a bill is waiting on Tom Corbett's desk. He's the governor. That would let companies add workers withholding to their corporate coffers instead of public treasury. Dan Deaver of the Philadelphia City paper writes that if Corbett signs the bill, your taxes would get withheld by your boss like normal, but they would then keep them and spend it on private jets or monogram bathroom fixture or whatever else turns them on instead of turning them over to the state. Turning your tax dollars over to the state being the whole reason they were ostensibly withheld in the first place. In some sense, says Deaver, making workers pay taxes directly to their boss is just cutting out the middleman. Talk to you later. It's terrible. Lavish corporate welfare in the form of taxpayer subsidies to business is the norm. States fall over each other in a rush to make themselves look the most appealing, meaning low taxes and wages alongside weak labor and environmental protection, and then sweeten the deal with a specifically tailored giveaway to lure a specific companies. Oh, it just makes me sick. I wonder which 19 states.
I was
states
looking for the states, but it didn't really say. I wonder if it's here.
See, we're looking to see if we can find the state.
Yeah, it just talks about Pennsylvania.
That's so sick. I would refuse to pay my taxes.
I would refuse to pay them, too, if I knew that if Connecticut was doing that. Especially since we just got a state income tax increase.
That's why the income tax keeps, sales tax keeps going up.
Yeah.
Because it's to compensate for all the money that's being withheld that's not going back to their coffers.
And we have a state income tax and a state sales tax here.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just criminal. Absolutely criminal what they're doing.
There is not an article on Nancy Pelosi here.
It must be on the second. Oh, I wanted to read this one because I thought this was interesting.
Okay, let me go to
what Trump up.
You can read that one.
Because... Richard Trump. He's right on this.
Americans don't want that grand bargain. So he's going to read it.
He's right on this. I don't want it either, but unfortunately, we got to deal with a Democratic Congress, too. Cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid just so that millionaires and billionaires can continue to receive tax breaks and other giveaways. We could not disagree more, says AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka in an op-ed in today's Politico. Americans don't want grand bargain. What is the grand bargain? It boils down to lower tax rates for rich people paid for by benefit cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. These are precisely the issues that are being debated so vigorously in the campaign, and voters do not want anything to do with such a deal. The pundits will tell you the Democrats have no choice but to accept Social Security and Medicare benefit cuts because this is the only way Republicans will agree to more tax revenue. This is the grand bargain. The grand bargain crowd says we need to cut benefits that help the working class to reduce the deficit. Trumka says, but if they were serious about reducing the deficit, they would not propose a lower the top tax rate for the richest Americans, which was millions of dollars. If you want to cut benefits for working Americans while cutting the top tax rate for the richest Americans, it's abundantly clear which side you're on. All right? And I can go right to his op-ed that he wrote. He's right on that. And as much as I hate to depend on the Democratic Congress. When I hear people say we need to cut Social Security benefits, I wonder whether they know that millions of people lost their retirement savings in the Great Depression, and that traditional pensions are increasingly hard to come by. Do the benefit cutters think seniors are sitting around wondering how to spend their lavish retirement benefits, now averaging the princely sum of about $14,500 a year? Do they think near seniors are suddenly realizing that their savings and pensions are much more secure than they have ever imagined possible? Are the people who want to raise the retirement age aware that life expectancy for Americans who lack a high school diploma is actually declining? And do they understand that raising the retirement age is a benefit cut, no matter what age you retire? Of course, we have to bring down health care costs, but not by cutting benefits and not by shifting those more costs to individuals. The right way to bring down health care costs is to make our health care system more cost effective. All right, stop overpayments for care and reform the way we deliver the pay for care and pay for they deliver and pay for care. For example, allowing Medicare to negotiate lower drug prices from the big pharmaceutical companies would save a lot of money. But Republicans have blocked this at every turn. Well, your mistake, friend. Obamacare blocked it too. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
The major factor that got Obamacare through was that they refused to negotiate pharmaceutical prices. The grand bargain crowd
That's because the Congress wouldn't go along with it.
Congress wouldn't go along with it, no.
No, it practically made it impossible for him to do anything.
That's right.
Lucky he got anything through.
I know. The grand bargain crowd says they have cut benefits to lower the deficit, but if they were serious about reducing the deficit, they would not propose a lower. I just read that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the second page, though. Early this month, Chuck Schumer said something courageous. He said we cannot afford to lower the top rate below where it was when Bill Clinton was president, 39.6%, even if we close tax loopholes. Cutting tax rates for the rich won't help with the supposed goal of reducing the deficit. It will exacerbate economic inequality, the last thing we need. Cutting tax rates, I agree with you. The reaction to Schumer's speech proves there is nothing in the grand bargain for working people. Republican leaders say no, grand bargain is possible without lowering the top tax rate to the lowest Americans.
What?
He wants to lower the tax rate for the. He says it's impossible without lowering the tax rate for the richest Americans. What they really have in mind is extending tax cuts for the richest 2% of Americans at a cost of $1 trillion, and then increasing taxes on the middle class. In return for generously offering up higher taxes on the middle class, they think Democrats should agree to benefit cuts for Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. This deal stinks to high heaven, which is precisely why it is being negotiated behind closed doors. We say no to secret deals. Let's have this debate out in the open. Do not think the American people really want to cut benefits for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid in exchange for lowering the top tax rate for the richest Americans.
Well, you'll have a lot of stupid people that will support that.
There are so many stupid people out there, Lila.
They cut off their nose to fight their
pain. It's so beyond me how they do it.
They believe the lies they're being told.
Yeah, and it scares the hell out of me to think that they would do that. How do you get back to this thing?
What did you do?
I don't know.
No,
it's
nothing wrong with that.
The iPad is so freaked out.
No, it isn't.
It's so sensitive that you breathe on it and it changes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
You don't know how to use it.
I hate iPad.
No?
I'm sorry. I don't like Apple either. It takes you 20 minutes to get back to something like... You know,
it doesn't take 20 minutes. You turned it so it's off, so I had to go back to the beginning.
Well,
you know, you don't understand it. Just keep talking.
Keep talking. Well, anyway, I'm not going to talk anymore for about a minute or two. I'm going to go to a music break, and we'll be back after this, I guess. So, I'm thinking of something bluesy. I'm thinking of something like Burnt Rubber Blues. Let me go with this.
Get out and vote on November 6th. But Mitt Romney's plans for collective bargaining, project labor agreements, and right to work for less laws. Watch TW's new video, Mitt's Plan for the American Worker, to find out. This is probably short.
If I become President of the United States, one of the first things I'll do, actually on day one, is I will end the government's favoritism towards unions and contracting on federal projects and end project labor agreements, and I will fight to repeal Davis-Bacon.
But there are other subsidies that I think you're going to find that we take out.
Give me one.
Well, the subsidy for Amtrak, the subsidy for Amtrak, I would eliminate that.
We'll probably stop sending money to subsidize Amtrak.
And I will fight for right-to-work laws.
That means you can get paid less.
I didn't know that was going to get that kind of response, right? I'd have said that earlier.
Yeah, how funny is that? Okay, the right for you not to get paid.
Yeah. The right to work without getting paid. That's what that amounts to, isn't it?
Yep.
Right.
Eight facts you need to know on health care. Maybe this is an important thing for you to listen to. Arm yourself with these eight facts on health care, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. We have a health care cost problem, not a Medicare or Medicaid problem. Health care costs, care costs, not a Medicare or Medicaid problem. Health care costs overall, including through employment-based plans, individual coverage, Medicare and Medicaid, have been growing faster than the whole economy, 2.4% greater on an average since 1970. Between 2000 and 2010, workers' contributions to premiums for health insurance at work jumped 147%, compared to just a 36% increase in workers' earnings. Number two, most health care costs come from a small group of people with costly conditions. According to the Kaiser Foundation, half of health care spending is used to treat just 5% of the population. Within traditional Medicare, the costliest 25% of beneficiaries account for 81% of spending. Medicare is not going bankrupt. According to the Medicare Board of Trustees, the Medicare hospital insurance will pay 100% of health care costs until 2024 and continue to pay 87% of those costs after 2024. The other parts, a summary of the 2012 annual reports from the Social Security and Medicare Boards of Trustees. You could see that and that'll explain it. The other parts of the Medicare coverage, doctors and outpatient care and prescription drugs, are funded on an ongoing basis by beneficiary premiums and general revenues. So these parts of Medicare can't be insolvent, as the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities reports. Number four, Medicaid is a critical part of our healthcare system. Medicaid covers 60 million people. This includes 6 million seniors and more than 9 million people with disabilities who draw two-thirds of the benefit payouts, helping make Medicaid today the largest source of nursing home and community-based long-term coverage. Number five, on average, Medicare households spend 15% of their income on health expenses. While all households spend roughly the same percentage of their income on food, housing, and transportation, Medicare households spend three times the percentage spent by those who are not covered by Medicare. Number six, making people wait until they're older to get Medicare benefits will increase healthcare costs, not lower them. For seniors today, Medicare benefits begin when they reach age 65, although some suggest raising the eligibility to age 67 is a way to save money. Doing this would actually increase total costs. By one estimate from the Nonpartisan Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, the increase in total health costs paid by people 65 and 66, employers and state governments, would be twice the savings to the federal budget once the full age increases is in effect. Number seven, hospitals receiving Medicare and Medicaid money only have to provide just enough emergency care to stabilize a patient and the hospitals still charge and sometimes sue the patient for it. Federal law requires certain hospitals to treat people with emergency medical conditions regardless of the ability to pay, but it's true only those with emergency conditions, and the hospital only has to provide enough treatment to stabilize the patient. So a hospital might have to treat a woman in labor, but not someone with cancer, unless immediate medical attention is necessary to avoid putting the person's health in serious jeopardy. Number 8, repealing the Affordable Care Act will increase costs for today's seniors. The average Medicare beneficiary will pay an extra $4,700 over the next 10 years if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. Seniors will face higher premiums and out-of-pocket expenses for care, and some will continue to fall into the Medicare prescription drug donut hole. So that's going to be a problem. And you can see the estimated savings of $5,000 to each Medicare beneficiary from the enactment through 2022 under the Affordable Care Act from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So that's a problem if that's repealed.
I'm really upset because I know that they have the
can't find the article that Nancy Pelosi wrote.
No, I was looking for Pelosi's article and I hit it.
Are you sure you saw it on there?
Yeah. This was interesting. I don't know if you watched the anybody who watched the
debate
last the other night, but you know the few things that Romney makes no damn sense at all, you know, and I think Obama got him on this one when he said we no longer have to buy
horses
or bayonets for the Navy, you know, and I think it's true that I mean we're here in Connecticut we build the we have
GE.
Well, GE and Groton Sub and Sikorsky
Pratt
and all
Whitney.
That. Pratt. But those I mean, we're a big defense state, all right? But we also have to do a lot for the Navy. I mean, we build the submarines and...
Groton.
Yeah. So, but you want to read that? You want me to read that?
You can read that.
In Monday night's presidential debate, when Mitt Romney boldly proclaimed that the U.S. Navy has fewer ships today than it did in 1916. President Obama reminded them that their Navy's 21st century mission is far different than the fleet's capabilities are far greater. But with the election in 2 weeks, Republican twists President Obama's barbed response to Romney as a grievous assault to the Navy. Insult to the Navy and a threat to the men and women who are contributing to build the world's most modern Navy warfare force ever. First, here's what Obama said, and then we'll hear from the shipyard workers. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets because the nature of our military has changed, and we had these things called aircraft carriers where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater and nuclear submarines. So the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's where our capabilities are. All right? That was a good response.
Well, I thought it was.
It was quick, but it was, it was. The only insult I see here is to Romney's grasp of modern warfare. Much of the modern war fighting capability, including aircraft carriers and nuclear submarines, is built at the Huntington Ingalls Industries Newport News Shipyard by more than 7,000 members of the United Steelworkers, Local 888. Says Local 8888, President Arnold Outlaw. Mitt Romney and his surrogates are conveniently ignoring the point of President Obama's comments in last night's debate. Our members know firsthand that President Obama believes in equipping our military with the resources it needs to protect our nation's 21st century security interests while creating jobs in the process. Ron Ault, president of the AFL-CIO Metal Trades Department, that represents workers of the Newport News, other Navy shipbuilding and repair facilities and private shipyards, and build naval warships, said President Obama correctly pointed out it's about the capability of our naval warships, not just the quantity of ships. We are building the most versatile, most capable, technological advanced warships in the world, fully capable of engaging multiple targets. And there's other, and they keep going on and on and on with different quotes. What it is that Romney makes no sense.
Well, he
doesn't have a grasp on what's actually happening.
As I told you, he's full of topic sentences.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. He really is, and it's.
But he doesn't ever develop the topic because he doesn't have any background.
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds good.
This sounds good.
And he has no facts to back up anything he says. Or if he does have facts, they're inaccurate.
Yeah.
When they're checked by fact checkers.
Yeah.
And what he said this week, he didn't say last week or the week before. It depends which audience he's talking to.
That's
an ultra-right conservative when he talks to Tea Party people.
Yeah.
And when he speaks before the nation of everybody, he's a middle-of-the-road person. But he doesn't even know what that means. So.
Well, here it is. I mean, this article here, you can read this one. Meet Mr. Romney, 1%. It's a quick little thing, I guess.
I think it's a video.
Click the ROM's way to get rich.
We work hard, we care for our families, we contribute to our communities. America's working families value hard work and fairness, and we take pride in making our country strong. We need someone in the White House who shares our values. Meet Ms. Mitt Romney, Mr. 1%, and decide for yourself whether his values are yours. And we'll play the video.
I was born and raised here. I love this state. It seems right here. The trees are the right height. I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars. I love cars. I love American cars. Anne drives a couple of Cadillacs, actually. She has Austrian warm bloods.
Yeah. It's a
dressage horse.
Me?
I have a Missouri Foxtrotter. I made a lot of money. I've been very successful. I'm not going to apologize for that. And then I get speaker's fees from time to time, but not very much.
$374,000.
I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. I like being able to fire people who provide services to me. I was a severely conservative Republican governor.
I will secure the border with a fence.
I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life. We hired a lawn company to mow our lawn, and they had illegal immigrants that were working there. I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy.
So, what does he stand for?
I saw that Bob King said that I don't care about the auto industry. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. King. I care very deeply about the auto industry.
That's exactly what I said. The headline you read, which is that let Detroit go bankrupt.
Wouldn't that, at a time when we were in the depths of the recession, when we were really right in the midst of what looked like a financial crisis, wouldn't that have been disastrous for the economy?
It would have been precisely the right thing to do for the economy.
Romney has destroyed so many corporations. He is not the answer for this country. this country needs help. It needs to be rebuilt.
Don't try and stop the foreclosure process. Let it run its course and hit the bottom.
In the last 3 years, I've worked a total of 7 months. So eventually, I'm going to lose my home. And I guess I'm going to be on the street.
I'm concerned when I watch a president kowtow to the union bosses by putting in place those labor stooges at the NLRB. I've taken on union bosses before. I'm happy to take them on again. I fully support Governor Kasich's, I think it's called Question 2 in Ohio.
With this upcoming election, I see it as everything. It means everything. It means our future. For me personally, will I ever be able to get back to work?
If I were elected and Congress were to pass the DREAM Act, would I veto it? And the answer is yes.
I think DREAMers, since we're young, most of us have graduated, and now we're looking for jobs. So we'll soon be part of the labor, you know, the labor movement.
Planned Parenthood, we're going to get rid of that.
But I'm just wondering where you would suggest that the millions of women who receive their health services, such as mammograms and HPV vaccines, go.
Well, they could go wherever they'd like to go. This is a free society.
People think the country's going in the wrong direction. The future of our children is looking bleaker all the time.
No children in this country should be worrying about things that they do today. It's not what this country should be like. It's hard to sell the whole get your education to get a better job thing when they see me with a good education and I'm not getting any job.
I don't care if you have an R behind your name or a D behind your name. You're in office for one reason, to create jobs, pass bills that helps the American people.
We've got to listen to these politicians and to make sure that we are taking them seriously and to keep working against, you know, the politicians that are not going to work with us.
At its base, regardless of your choosing a political side, Obama's looking at the broad spectrum of people this country represents, and Romney has a very, very narrow view dedicated to 1% of the people.
The values at the core of the union movement, those don't change. Those are the values that have made this country great. But when I hear some of these folks trying to take collective bargaining rights away, trying to pass so-called right-to-work laws for private sector workers that really mean the right to work for less and less and less, when I hear some of this talk, I know this is not about economics. This is about politics. I keep on hearing these same folks talk about values all the time. We don't talk about values. Hard work, that's a value. Looking out for one another, that's a value. The idea that we're all in it together and I'm my brother's keeper and sister's keeper, that's a value.
Basically is what he is a parasite.
Yeah, exactly. And what all he's going to do
He's going to come into office.
And
he's
do the
going
same.
To borrow his ass against all of our everything that we have. All right, and then file for complete bankruptcy and say sorry, you know, and go home and play with his dressage horses, you know. And Details Inc. Just he's going to do what Bush did.
Yep.
$46 million Bain investment, $93 million trade made in stocks, filed for bankruptcy in 2003.
Well, they took all the pension money. That's what they
this
took.
This guy is one creep.
Helping the 1%.
Yeah. Romney's tax plan, helping people like him, not us. Average tax savings for millionaires, $250,000 to $530. Average tax savings for middle class taxpayers, $810. That's Romney's tax plan.
Romney's economic attack plan. Cut and cap spending on programs working families count on. Cut and block corporate regulations from Wall Street reform to job safety protections. Cut Social Security but refuse to increase what the wealthy pay in. Abandon Medicaid, the key health provider for low-income children and elderly persons, to cash-strapped states. Hand retraining for unemployment workers over to struggling states and tell jobless workers you're on your own with personal unemployment accounts. End project labor agreements and prevailing wage protection for building trade workers. Cut 10% of federal jobs.
That's a great plan for a plan,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, isn't that nice?
What was this guy, crazy? You know, really crazy. His record speaks louder than words.
Oh, that's for sure.
Romney's record is Massachusetts governor.
On the campaign trail, Mitt Romney talks about creating jobs and reining in spending, but his record tells a different story. State debt, Massachusetts, first in nation in state debt per capita.
Squeezed. Raised fees on the middle class while fighting to keep tax breaks for the wealthy.
Unemployed, 47th in the nation on job creation.
Outsourced, after state customer service call centers jobs were outsourced to India, Romney vetoed legislation to stop the practice. Oh, Jesus, this guy is one. You want this guy as a president? Yeah.
Doubling down with Paul Ryan. The Romney-Ryan budget. Give the average millionaire $187,000 tax break. And Medicare as we know it. Fast-track forced cuts to Social Security. Take health care from up to 30 million people. Make outsourcing good jobs easier. Cut education, education, training, transportation, and infrastructure, and more.
And that's the Ryan-Romney plan.
Vote your values.
If you agree Mitt Romney's values are out of step with America's values, and if you want a president who shares the values of hard work, fairness, and strengthening America, get involved today. Sign up to join the Workers' Voice campaign at workersvoice.org. Find volunteer opportunities near you at localamericawantstowork.org/ALL. Join Working America if you are not a union member. workingamerica.org/membership/join and pledge to vote. Learn more about your voting rights and registration at myvotemyright.org. There you go.
I think we saw all of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was good.
But I think it's good that we covered that because it's
very scary.
I mean, we're in a complete and total fundamental boom, you know.
I'm afraid that people believe are too quick to believe Romney's lies.
Yeah.
It's very scary to me.
I agree with you. I thought of doing this. I was going to say the last few minutes were an essay that I wrote about my voting.
I don't think it's. To leave on this show. Why don't you just go on to something from...
Why?
Because I don't think you... I don't think...
You know my...
I think
you know
people
my, when
should
I read
vote.
When I read my essays
I think
on Thursday night,
vote.
I get 10 times the audience I get on these nights. So it's like...
I think people should vote.
I agree. It's not a non-voting thing.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not a non-voting. It's a total voting. It's just saying that, you know, you have two. You know, right now you're at a, you know, it's the decision of a voter. I mean, you have to. I'm almost to the point I don't want to vote in this election, but I feel I have to vote because, you know, it's the fundamental differences are there. You know, you either. I explain it better in my essay.
Well, it's very scary. You can expect that no matter who you vote, the foreign policy is going to remain exactly the same. It's always been that way in American politics.
True.
So you're not going to create change in foreign policy because that's run by the CFR. But you may get a whole different kind of domestic agenda depending on who gets elected. You know, and certainly Obama's domestic agenda is more in line with what I agree with. His foreign policy agenda is not. Romney's domestic agenda is not in line with what I agree with, nor is his foreign policy agenda.
No. And
so
it's pretty obvious, I mean, what we're dealing with here. And I'm just going to run to it here for a second. I thought I summed it up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. While you're doing that, I'll just read this. Work and family. Although the traditional family, a father who works outside the home and financially supports the children, and a mother whose work is keeping the house and raising the children, has been disappearing for more than a generation, our workplaces and government policies have not kept pace with America's new reality. Most children are growing up in homes with both parents working or with single parents. One-third of workers don't have access to paid sick leave, and only 42% have paid personal leave. What's the impact on public health when working people can't afford to take sick days during a flu epidemic? Who takes care of a sick child? Who's home to fix dinner and help with homework? Who can dedicate time to a sick elderly parent? The recession and jobless recovery have complicated life further for working families when having to leave work for a family emergency could lead to long-term unemployment. Collective bargaining provides people the opportunity to make their workplaces work for families. Many unions have arrived at innovative agreements that help working people meet their family obligations while ensuring the employer can succeed. So here it is. How family-friendly is your state? Existing family-friendly legislation. Let's see. Connecticut. People represent existing campaigns with family-friendly legislation pending. That's what we are. We're not an existing family-friendly state.
That's for sure.
Oh, yes, we are. The worker is in gold, I'm sorry. Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island are all family-friendly.
We are?
Yep.
I didn't know that. People are running out of this country. State.
Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia are not family-friendly.
How do they recognize family-friendly? Democrats?
Well, when you have paid family, you have sick leave for family, that kind of thing. And sick leave for part-time employees, they get sick leave, too, and they should.
That's true.
Remember that was just signed last year?
Yeah. That's true. So
here's something on balancing work and family. It's important.
Well, we only got about a minute left.
One of the issues we had was being given overtime. They would give you overtime. They would tell you that afternoon we need you to stay late from work. They would mandatory you spend every 2 hours at work. And that would deter when you get home and you need your family to take care of, supper to cook for the kids and things like that, or activities they went to. So it made it really hard to have family activities and family time when you had to give the extra time.
Well, you can listen to that on the AFL-CIO blog. You can, on balancing work and family, and a lot of those things are from YouTube. You'll be able to watch them. Thank you for listening, and I hope you consider voting.
Yeah.
And read up and become informed.
Okay.
And good night, folks.
Yeah, it's going to take me a second to get back to this site. So on there. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone, and please join us tomorrow right here. I guess Palin came out with something today. Former Vice
Sarah
President
Palin.
Kind of goes a little too far with her attack on the president.
She's
kind of nutty.
Why doesn't she stay home and take care of her family?
Well, she doesn't have to now, I guess.
Well, they're all in reality TV shows.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think so.
Yeah, disgusting.
I'm not really sure, but I think they're all kind of well off now since she did her thing. No?
I guess so.
Yeah. And, okay. So I want to thank everybody tonight. And like I said, tomorrow we'll be doing something totally different here, so... Thank you and good night.